Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. As you guys may know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. So what does that mean, guys? Raise your vibration. We say we're going to take the next hour to talk about things that raise your vibration. Basically, what we mean is we're going to share with you concepts, ideas, certain maybe even potential ways of approaching life in a different and new and fresh light for the sole purpose of living happier, more joyous, more fulfilled, abundant in all areas of your lifestyle. Because it's so important that you feel fulfilled in this life. It is so important that you do whatever you can to get whatever wisdom or knowledge or information is necessary for you to feel the best that you can possibly feel. And that, of course, surrounds state of mind, emotion, that also surrounds understanding the world that we live in, understanding the world that you are creating for yourself through the thoughts that you focus on and that you are collectively and co-creating with the people around you, focusing on the majority of your emotion, where the majority of your emotion lies. Are you focusing more on joy? Are you focusing more on excitement? Or do you find yourself focusing on the past or worrying about the future? These kinds of things, right? It's about learning to love yourself and also learning to embrace the fantastic, crazy world that we live in today, right? So as you guys know, you know, obviously we do promote the idea here, the concept that you are the creators of your reality, that you are holographically projecting a matrix, that you're interacting with a fully interactive holographic matrix of consciousness that's all perceived by geometrical veils and all this crazy stuff, which allows us to then dive deep into the physical experience and be here on Earth. So once you're here on Earth, things can get a little crazy, right? Obviously, keeping a connection with your source is very important, but with so much enhancement and so much technology and so much innovation on the planet, there's a lot of questionable things that are happening as well that almost make you raise an eyebrow, right? So I want to first and foremost, I want to thank and number one, of course, the deepest and most wholehearted gratitude to my dear brother and co-host since day one, Brother Colin. Welcome to the show, man. How you doing today?
Hello. How is everyone today? I hope you're doing well, and I'm excited to jump into this discussion.
I love it, man. I do not believe there's anybody else better that could discuss and could in a clear and transparent way, explain what we're going to be talking about today. So, Colin, as you guys may know, as I've said on the show before, Colin is a dear brother of mine. He has always been there to expand my consciousness. He has always been a beacon of light in my life. Colin has always been the one person that is always innovating and creating and thinking of new ideas and thinking of new things. And he's the first one to like know about the next like huge innovation on the planet. Like, and that's
all right.
Just,
well,
just
let's jump right into it, dude. Let's do it.
I love you too. Okay,
so the topic.
No, dude, you go for it, bro. You go for it. I was going to start out by saying, last time Colin and I were together, he shared with me some information that absolutely blew my mind. You take it from there. Take it from there. Tell me what's going on, bro.
First, I'm going to take it in context of a product that I know about that this has happened. So in every digital camera, in all of our phones and everything, there are camera sensors. And now these camera sensors are flat sensors. They're all very cheap. The ones in your phones suck dick. I could buy them for like maybe 50 cents or something. So excuse my language, but they are horrible. Anyways.
That's okay. We're on the internet.
Okay. So now there's been an invention, and it's been out for, I want to say the first patent came out like 10 years ago. And what this is a curved sensor, a curved CMOS sensor. And what that does is it replicates our eye shape. Like, it doesn't really make sense for cameras to be flat because the horizon is curved. All of nature is curved. The only thing, I don't know, mankind is obsessed with straight lines. So anyway, so this has been out for like 10 years. The first patent came out 10 years ago and then like went from there. So like there's been every brand name has their own version of this, a different kind of technology. Regardless, nobody's made one yet. I cannot go buy this sensor anywhere. Oh no, I found one place. And so here, I have to buy a $200,000 telescope. I have to buy the actual telescope to get a replacement sensor. To be able to buy a replacement curved sensor. I don't know. It seems a little excessive. I should just be able to buy it by 10 years. This has been invented 10 years ago, and we can't use it. Anyway.
Wow. So explain to people the importance. One of the things that Colin does is he understands cameras, he understands light, he understands how light works.
Laser.
With camera angles and lasers. Colin's a laser fanatic for sure. So, share with the listeners the importance, like the profound importance of the difference between a flat lens versus this CMOS curved lens sensor.
Well, I think I did, but I'll retouch on it. It's just that it replicates our eye. So the flat sensors they're so limited in how far they can see. And
yes.
So the importance is, right now I can tell you the importance is deep astrological photography, like black hole stuff, like as far away as you could possibly imagine. That's what this sensor can do. So it can also be a selfie cam, just one that's so high def that you could see your pores.
right. But you could also use it on a... right.
The point is, though, is that all these huge companies, they have the Samsung, Amazon, whatever, whoever has these patents, has decided we cannot make this because then it will compete with our other cameras, whatever the reasoning. Maybe people don't know what this is. People won't buy it. Whatever the fucking reason,
okay, that's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting really passionate.
Dude, I love it. Passion is the real
stuff. All these companies, they lock their patents down, meaning maybe there's two guys in a basement in like some tech basement, like kind of messing with the CMOS sensors, but like nobody can sell them. Nobody can make them in our phones, just because all the companies have different ideas and they're fighting each other and they're locking the ideas down so that nobody else can use them. And it's just, we're like at a stalemate. Wow. And this idea is happening all over the place. And I would say the most relevant, like the biggest place that it happens is in the medical field, because diseases are way too profitable for people to invent the cure. So like everybody, so all the big companies are preventing the cure. They can invent the like preventative measures. They can help you with other stuff, but the technology that's going to cure cancer, the technology that's going to cure Alzheimer's or whatever, is being locked away. It probably exists. It's probably existed for 10 years. We don't know.
Right.
So yeah.
See, that's this understanding this information and just getting a baseline understanding of how important it is to do what you feel is right, how important it is to take action when you feel inspired. You know, this is the reason why, and I know that that's, it doesn't sound like it's directly related, but the reason why I say that is because when there is a need for something on the planet, there is a collective consciousness of people that pick up on that idea. For example, they found, and this is documented, this is a known thing, all around the world at different parts in history where people, and sometimes even at the same parts in history, where there's no possible way that those people could have had the technology at that point in time to actually communicate and share these symbols, like the swastika. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily the German ideology of what that stands for. Obviously, we all know that that's
terrible. What he did to it was just turn it the other way and make it rigid. So he essentially took away the flow from the original swastika and made it a symbol of power. Instead of a symbol of flow.
Exactly. And so the reason why I bring up the idea of the swastika is this first was found, these symbols were found all around the world. Some in Indonesia, some in Greece, in places where at that point in time, and we're talking about ancient structures, some found underwater that were buried, flooded, whatever. It's impossible for the exact same symbols, which was at that time a form of communication, a form of language, to be communicated all around the different parts of the globe, of the world, simultaneously and throughout history, even when they did not have email or cellular technology, or even like they didn't know how to even get to halfway across the world at that time. Yes, they had boats, but not like Christopher Columbus style. I'm not talking 1692 or whatever. I'm talking about way, way back in the day, before Christ, before like way, 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 like BC and all of that stuff. So like the idea that I'm getting at here, there is a collective asking, there is a collective consciousness of people all around the globe that are asking for the same thing, and they're not even aware of it. That's why these new styles of music are coming out, these new genres of music that like people have never really heard before, these kind of lo-fi tunes with also like classic-y jazz feels, but also like, I mean, anything and everything. So music today, you can't even put a genre on some of the stuff that comes out. And like, there was nothing like that 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And if there was, it was not listened to the way that it is today, or it was not appreciated.
It was the devil's music.
It was the right, exactly.
No, 20, 30, like, 40 years ago, that was, man, we had the 70s already happen. But
right,
for sure, like
right,
like 80 years ago, yeah, that would have been all, like, you're
yeah,
summoning the devil right now.
For sure. And even, like, and even in the 70s, like, we didn't have, I mean, imagine if you, like, heard, like, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with like a Gilla Mattias or, you know, like a, like FL or what's his name? FKJ or just like these, some of just, I don't know, stuff that like is only, can only be created through very specific production sound. And the point that I'm getting at, when there is an asking, when the collective consciousness asks for something to come, people all around the world will download the information from somewhere, some source, some Akashic space, something, whatever, wherever it's downloaded from, we will become vibrational equivalent to downloading the information that's necessary for, you know, these people, these little groups of people or individuals around the world that download the information of how to do it to actually follow through with it and take action. And it's not just like one person gets this download. You'll see all of a sudden waves of things will happen at the same time. And I'll give you one example that I, something that I was a part of and that I saw happen in right in front of my eyes in 2014. I did my research. In 2014, I started a sacred geometry clothing company. It was called GLOW, G-L-O-W. So it was an acronym for Give Love, Offer Wisdom, GLOW. But also, you know, GLOW, light, all that. It's sacred geometry. It was Metatron's cubes, three yantras, flower of life, just your basic sacred geometry. You know, a big plastisol screen pressed image of a geometry on the right side of the shirt. It was pretty big. It wrapped around your body, and then had a little logo at the top, and then a little logo at the bottom. Like bottom left of the shirt, you know, like all the cool kids wear today. So basically, I did my research when I started this company in 2014. There were zero sacred geometry clothing companies, not one. There was not one copywritten sacred geometry clothing company. The only place that I could get and this is why I started the company, because I was looking for a shirt with a Metatron's cube on it. The only place I could get it was one of those companies where you can make your own shirts. And they had a mock-up of just a Metatron's cube picture on a shirt. And that was it. That was it. But it was not a company. It was literally the company was make your own shirt. And then I Google searched Metatron's cube t-shirt. And it was the only thing that came up. I tell you, I got this download, start this company. People are asking for sacred geometry clothing. People want to rep their consciousness. People want to wear and show other people in subtle ways that they are aware of, you know, themselves, and or, you know, they do psychedelics or whatever it is. They're a part of that community or whatever, okay? So I partnered up with a dear brother of mine. We started doing these t-shirts. It went absolutely amazing. It started popping off. People were loving it, digging it. And then we started communicating with a couple influencers at the time. All of a sudden, I had a circumstance in my life where, unfortunately, I had to pull out and no longer be a part of this thing that I had started. It was like my baby. I invested, you know, a majority of the earnings that I had into starting this company. And then something happened in my life where I literally had to walk away from it like that day and start working somewhere else for a guaranteed income due to a circumstance in my life. The partner I was working with, he put all of his time and energy, blood, sweat, and tears into building this with me. So when I told him the news of saying, I am so sorry, I am not going to be able to work, you know, I'm not going to be able to work with you anymore on building this company. Right when it was starting to turn profit, right when we were starting to go in the black, I walked away. And he, obviously, I would have done the same thing. He had to continue going. That's what he was doing. He goes, well, I came in this with you. I'm not going to, just because you have to go, I'm not going to walk away. So he ended up continuing to create sacred geometry clothing. And within a one-year time span from when I had created Glow, there was no other sacred geometry clothing companies, zero, on the, at least on the internet. Maybe somewhere around the world that the kids were passing out in the back of their cars or something, but nothing that they could have been found online that could have been, you know, like that was copyrighted or anything. No companies that were LLC'd or even sole prop, nothing. So within a one-year time span, I go, I work at this new job and have to leave Glow. My buddy changes the name to Sacred Geometry Shop. It blows up. He had so many products within a one-year time span. It ended up becoming literally the number one shop for Sacred Geometry clothing and accessories, and ended up getting into like DJ mats and pillows and canvases for walls and houses, and then like wallpapers and crazy stuff. Yeah, like Sacred Geometry pillow, Sacred Geometry bed, mattress, just like anything and everything, laser etched crystals. And within 1 year time, by 2015, not only was that company popping off, but there were a legitimate like 10 other sacred geometry clothing companies that had just popped up out of nowhere. And it was a very similar kind of design. You know, everybody was downloading the same collective con. Everybody was downloading the same idea. Oh, people want to rep this, you know. And now sacred geometry clothing is, if you're in the community, it's kind of like a burnt out thing. Now, in 2019, it's like, oh, yeah, you're a sacred geometry clothing company. Okay. Like, it's like old news, you know? It's just crazy how when there is an asking for something, there are going to be people that download the information to deliver it. That's how Tesla did it, Edison, although Edison, you know what happened there. Not going to get into that. Edison got him a big gun. But. Okay, Colin, with this information, knowing that this exists, right? What do you think about the idea behind, just like you and I were talking about, when, let's say 10 years from now, let's say 5-10 years from now, just like you and I were talking about, 5-10 years from now, you and I we have this idea. Then we want to create something. We want to patent something. We go to attempt to create it, and it was patented 5 or 10 years ago from Google AIs, right?
Yeah, just so, about.
Essentially, and this is where the conflict of, I don't know, it's not a conflict of interest. This is where the conflict of whether is this humane? Is this okay? Is this acceptable?
I absolutely don't think this is okay. So
no.
Google itself, you can look up patents. So Google itself owns 50,000 ideas. Right. And that's not even counting the companies that Google owns, Alphabet, different subsidiaries of Google. They could hide infinite amount of patents, and we would never be able to see.
Yes.
That these patents are owned by Google. I don't really know the true number because I'm forced to use Google to try to find how many patents Google has. So,
right.
And they won't show me that.
Right.
You know what I
mean. That's insane. Yeah, no, of course. No, absolutely. And just like you said, they can blanket and they can mask how many patents they actually have. So
right. Sorry, no, go on.
No, please go on. Please go on.
I think the reason that masking is so bad is because we literally can't see what we can do to invent something. Like, me and you, if we think of an idea, yes, you can look up all the patents, but at the same time, you don't know if while you're doing that, a Google, like some quantum computer in the other...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Some quantum computer in Missouri is like stealing your idea while you make it.
Exactly. Exactly. And see, that's also another thing, is we use computers to create mock-ups of our ideas. So, hypothetically speaking, if we had this, if someone around the world was using their computer to create a fantastic idea, to create a cure for, like you said, a type of cancer, Alzheimer's. Let's say that they were using a special program that allows you to, you know, create DNA mockups and run, you know, DNA samples without, you know, like seeing the hypothetical outcome of if you were to put this type of chemical with this type of chemical, the chain reaction and what it would, you know what I'm saying? Like running a simulation. Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, sure. You can run 1,000 instances of any idea, millions of instances, and see how many times it fails and how many times it achieves your goal. Or you could literally run the same. There's kind of an idea of the world where we can already do it with video games. Like we're really close to like it feeling real. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so
especially, yes.
Even if we're not close publicly, like someone has it, so it feels real. And and so that's like detrimental. That I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. No. It is detrimental. So, by the way, guys, if you're tuning in halfway through the show, welcome to the Vibration Station. You're half an hour late. No, I'm kidding. If you guys are just tuning in with us here, I got Brother Colin, and we are talking about all. It's actually pretty gnarly concept. Today's show is based on sharing with you the knowledge and understanding that these major companies around the world, such as Google, have these artificial intelligent computers, these machines, that are patenting ideas that human beings haven't even thought of or created yet. So the idea is, if you think of something 5, 10, 20, 30, if your children thinks of something 20, 30, 40 years down the line, your children's children's children, they have an idea for, and you know, obviously different time period, everything. They have an idea to create something. They want to go and create it. They want to patent it. It can't be patented. Google already did it 20 years ago. So this is kind of this controlling energy that is kind of surrounding what's going on here. These companies, such as, you know, Alphabet, look into it, right? These, so as Colin said, perfect word, these subsidiary companies of
well, no, actually, Google. Alphabet is the one that owns Google.
Right, Alphabet. So Google would be a subsidiary of Alphabet, right? So
kind of, not really. Google came first.
So. They could, like, however it works, like they're able to, not counting the realistically hundreds of thousands of other companies that Google owns, like Loki, and you know, just
have so many, so literally many. Infinite companies,
like, yeah, infinite. Well said. Like,
a Google click of companies, they probably have.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Totally. 100%. Yes, it's in the name, Google.
Okay, well, the point of this is, though, is not to instill fear in people. It's more like we need to maybe find a way to differentiate the ideas patented by a computer and one that's patented by a human, except then you could just say, oh, I had the computer think of it, and then I rethought of it, and now it's mine. Like, I don't know. So I don't know if that will ever work, but what can we do? How can we make our ideas solid?
You know, that's a phenomenal question. And I think it's definitely not one that could be answered in full without doing some serious extensive research. But one thing that I could, in my humble opinion, and calling this... A lot of this answer stems from, you know, learning with you and learning from you and just like just learning about, you know, everything that we talk about. And so one thing that I would say is learn how to, if there is something that you are passionate about doing or learning or understanding, put the time, invest the time, invest the energy in understanding and learning how to become self-sustainable in doing whatever it is that you want to do for yourself. So, for example, like Colin said, these CMOS cameras that cannot be used, that essentially the these curved lens sensory cameras that are used for deep, deep, deep space, you know, seeing down black holes, like Colin was sharing earlier, looking into, you know, deep, deep, deep space. The idea is, why wouldn't we just take the exact same idea and use it with, you know, the cameras on our phones, or use it with cameras that you know, to produce great film. I mean, it, and the reason why, right, exactly, the permission to use, right. And the reason why is because literally there is a quarantine on the permission. So
yeah, no, exactly. That's what I meant. You can look at this product and we might show you a picture. You could maybe have a picture on your phone, but we'll never let you have it in person. Like, right. You can never actually own it. You could maybe go to a lab and like touch it, but no, we don't want anyone to use this really cool life-changing idea.
Exactly. So to tie back around with the answer, like once again, this is not about instilling any fear. This is about giving you information so you can take it upon yourself to take the necessary action to, you know, protect whatever ideas are valuable to you, to take the action to actually, you know, make sure that you are acting upon your joy and that you're not just waiting around for something to fall on your doorstep, because that's not how it happens. You do have to put yourself out. You do have to grab it off the table. It is on the table waiting for you to grab, but you got to get up and grab it off the table, right? You got to get up and actually grab it. It doesn't just land on your doorstep 99% of the time. Sometimes it does, but not a lot. So what I'm saying here, guys, and what we're saying here is essentially, you know, Colin, to answer your question, how do we protect ourselves from, or not protect, I say, hey, how do we go about, you know, I guess you could say protecting our ideas or, you know, not having this,
I know the one way, the one way to do it.
Yeah. Let's hear. And then I have another idea.
Most simple way. Don't make money off your idea and then it won't be a problem. Like, you can do whatever you want.
True.
Yeah. Like, as long as you're not trying to sell something, you can invent anything and do anything with it.
That is exactly what I was going to say. Your potential for knowledge is limitless. Your potential to learn and to educate yourself, even if there's not a YouTube video, go into a super deep meditation and ask for downloads on it. You probably will receive something and then just start writing shit down. It's crazy what you can receive when you are in a receptive state. It is, it's really amazing. So I'm like, that's right, Colin. That's exactly right. Do it for the sole purpose of wanting to do it for you. If you are passionate about something, you learn how to create it, or you learn how to manipulate it in a way that serves you and doesn't necessarily have to be about, you know, selling it or turning it into profit, right?
Well, if there's I'll tell the listeners my idea for this.
Let's see. Yeah, I love it, dude. Absolutely.
But I'm not trying to make money off it, and anybody can copy it. I don't care.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's hear it, dude.
I want to make a closed network social media site that is in 3D space. So XYZ coordinate. Like, imagine a whiteboard, but you can go infinitely deep, infinitely right, infinite up and down. And so what this will do is it'll give you like a new like sketchboard, and it'll be infinite. You can put stuff anywhere. You could group stuff together. Well, there'll be tags, whatever. The point of this system, though, is that each person will have their own, and you will be able to encrypt any part of it. You'll be able to do whatever, make whatever you want public. And then it will be only connected with people that you invite, and it'll be closed network, meaning no company will ever look at it. It's literally just a social media site hosted between people, which exists on some level with cryptocurrency, but it's not popular, and I want literally no one to have control over my
idea. Wow. That's
open source. Anybody that listens to that right now can go copy it and make it and be like, Colin, don't worry about it because I copyrighted it. And if you try to go sell it, then I already have it copyrighted. But the point is like, I want anyone to do it for not money. And I feel like I want to write books for not money.
Yes.
Like I just want the
open
money
source
to come
free.
Back.
Yes.
Yep. Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Kind of what we're starting to do with the Instagram page. So check it out, guys. Our sibling page, our sibling account to Dave's Good Vibration Station is Divine Mind Tribe Instagram. Dave's Good Vibration Station on LA Talk Radio is the platform which we speak, where you guys can interact with us. You can email, you can talk to us, you can call in on the show. By the way, I love the emails, guys. Thank you so much. I get so many questions about so many different things, and I absolutely love the interaction. Keep the emails coming, guys. I do my absolute best to respond to every single one of them as quickly as I can. And I really, really, really do appreciate the emails. I love you all with all of my heart and all of our hearts here. Something that's important is to just understand and to know that within you lies the potential for limitless creation. And that is why we are passionate about sharing this information with you, passionate about sharing with you that you have the capability to literally change the world. Did you just hear Colin's idea? Is genius, just genius. And Colin, I love you so much. I love you so much because you bring, I could talk about you for days, but really what it comes down to is the understanding that this world is changing, the understanding that we are in an ever-changing, ever-expanding world. The technology is changing, the technology is getting greater. The satellites are changing, the interaction with our galactic ancestors and galactic family is changing. So many things are changing on this planet at such a rapid hyper speed that it's almost really hard to keep up with. You guys notice time is going by so quick. A week is literally going by like, and it feels like it's been like days. Like, whoa, it's literally, oh my God, that was a month ago? That literally felt like last week. Yeah, time is literally speeding up, literally. And when you're enjoying yourself, when you're having a good time, when you're enjoying life, you only age the amount of time that you feel. So actually, Bashar talks about this. If you want to get into some other time in your life when you're really, or, you know, even when you, after the show, if this interests you or whatever, check out Bashar, Shifting Timelines. Basically, the idea is, you know, not going to get into that. Going to stay on top. The idea is we are constantly coming up with ideas. And there is absolutely a movement, a shift in this planet for open source information. The people that want to control information and keep it for themselves do not understand the power of unity, or they do and they're afraid of it. So when you create a platform for people to unite and for people to come together for the sole purpose, for the same purpose, it allows for a balanced, understanding, trustworthy, transparent community. And that's what this is all about. It's about building a community of people that you know do not have ill intentions to steal from you, to hurt you, or to hurt you and your family, right? Or it's even set up in a way to where even if someone did have ill intentions, the way that this system works is so fluid and so effortless that they it's impossible for someone to steal. It's impossible for someone to, you know, of course, anything can be hackable. But the point is, we are shifting into these new states of consciousness, which embrace open source information, which embrace open, free and sound money. And what do I mean by free? Free money, sound money, free money. What I mean by free money is money that has value, that you receive for doing what you do every single day without having to go out of your way. For example, although the coins aren't worth very much right now, there's this network. If you guys want to get on it, check it out. For example, the XYO coin, XY Oracle. It's go in the App Store, just type in coin, C-O-I-N. It'll be the first one that pops up. It's a black box with a couple orange circles in each other. Just look into it, right? You don't necessarily download it right away, create an account. Look into it. Just do your research. It literally just, this is a dApp. And a dApp is an application, and I learned this from Colin, that has been built under the Ethereum network. So the Ethereum network is essentially the new internet of things, internet of the new form of internet. In the 80s, the internet was, oh my God, this internet came out, right? Revolutionized the world. Now, 2019, we have blockchain technology. We had it way before, but commercially, you know, people are actively using blockchain technology and building new applications, they're called dApps, on the Ethereum network. Now, there's other networks where people can build applications in other different types of cryptographies and cryptographic networks and whatnot. But the Ethereum network is the big one for major corporations and major companies and even small companies as well to create revolutionary applications and actually tokenize. So actually give value to those applications, giving value to the users that use those applications. Meaning you can literally use an application or a dApp, right, that is built under one of these networks. And these dApps become tokenized, meaning just because you use them, they have value. And what this does is this captures the fundamental concept of value. And a lot of people around the world don't necessarily understand this. People think that value comes from, you know, backing money with gold, which it does, absolutely. But why does value come from people money backing money with gold? Because people believe more in gold than they do in paper. That's it. If people believe in paper more than gold, then it would be the opposite. So because there's more belief in the asset class, it gives it more wealth. It gives it a greater and higher purchasing power. That's what happened with Bitcoin. All of a sudden, you know, it came out, it was trading at not even a penny, tenths of a penny. And people are like, oh, I'm trying, you know, okay, this new, you know, decentralized currency, just try it out, blah, blah. All of a sudden, 8 years later, man, Bitcoin, worth a couple grand. Now it's all of it, 20 grand, obviously corrected itself. Now it's considered its own asset class. And, you know, every billionaire in the world, multimillionaire in the world owns some sort of cryptocurrency within their asset class. Now it's a necessity. If you don't own Bitcoin, it's like, you don't own Bitcoin? Man, what are you doing? You know? So same way with these tokenized applications or dApps is these ERC, they're called ERC 20 tokens. I learned all of this from Colin. Literally all of this I learned from Colin. And just taking the information that he shared with me and then doing my own research on it and listening to more videos.
And then I learned it from the interwebs.
It's all Colin, right? It's like
Reddit. Oh, basically all Reddit.
It's, yeah,
it's only Reddit.
Right? Yeah. For real.
Reddit, dude. 4chan, 420chan, 7chan. Yeah,
dude. All like the major pages that are the fundamental platform of what circulates through the internet. But basically, So I guess what I'm just trying to share with the masses, and Colin, this is all you, brother. I want you to take over because I'm just trying to share the importance of people participating in ideas that having people recognize that their participation is value in and of itself, that literally them just participating in something that they want to has value. And that concept.
I have a story for that.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so in India.
Perfect. Yeah, we have 4 minutes left on the show. That's perfect.
Perfect. It's a short story. In India, there's a law that every citizen has the right to vote. Not the right, but that they will help them vote. So what this means is India is massive. Everybody knows that. But so like so they are giving the ability to vote to people. So there's a story of this one old man that wanted to vote every year. And what he does is he himself walks 6 miles straight from his house. Now, the other people, the voting people, they hiked 9 miles to meet him. So he has to walk a little bit less, but that means 14 miles, like both people are 28 both ways, just for one person to vote.
Wow.
And so that is the importance of participation. It is literally like not mandatory, but like everyone needs to know that your importance matters. Your voice matters, like everything that you convey to anyone, it matters. So try to be nice.
Yes. Dude, beautifully said. And that's, oh my gosh, what a perfect way to kind of tie up the show in is, wow, man, that couldn't have been more perfectly said, is give yourself the value that you already have. Recognize your value. And if you are in a life situation where you currently do not feel like your value is being fully recognized or fully appreciated or fully compensated for, look into other things that are revolutionary that might help you to get a grasp of how actually phenomenal your participation, how phenomenal of a difference your participation makes. And depending on how much energy you put into something, how much you can create from it. And that's what I absolutely love about your idea of this open, free source space that can be tokenized and can also, you know, hold value for any user that is a part of it. Also, to share ideas in an open platform and freely and openly share those ideas, so we don't need to worry about the patents and the and sell. You're right, dude. Money, when you don't sell it, it makes everything less complicated. But to require not selling something requires a means of being able to be sustainable outside of. Does that make sense? You need to be sustainable outside of giving something else, giving something out that's for free that holds tremendous value. So,
well, there's a difference between free and you not making a profit.
Yeah,
like not. You can always do. You can produce things through a nonprofit. That way you can get around that. Like you could make a book and it could be a nonprofit and it just goes back into making the book again. And
that's
then the profits go to whatever charity you want or whatever.
Right.
Or you.
And right. And And most of the time, I mean, it's actually a requirement for a 501c3 that the board members receive an annual salary. Yeah. So it's yeah. No, dude, you're absolutely right. Oh, my gosh. Colin, I so appreciate you taking your Sunday to share your information with us, share your wisdom, share your understanding. The knowledge that you have, the genius that you are. We love you. I love you. Everybody always benefits from the really amazing and profound information that you share with us here on the Vibration Station. I love you, brother. If you guys want to get in contact with Colin or myself, you can do so through emailing davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Once again, that's Dave's vibrationstation@gmail.com. Also, make sure to check out our sibling account on Instagram, divine.mind.tribe. Divine Mind Tribe. Also, do some research. Just type in ERC20 tokens. Type in Ethereum network. Type in blockchain. Learn about this stuff, guys. This is kind of the where it seems where the future is going. All right? We love you with all of our hearts. We want the absolute best for you and your loved ones and all of humanity and this planet. And the only way to get there is to work together. So all the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. We will see you next Sunday. Love you guys. Peace.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.